Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, March 4th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
stocks in Asia tumble with China dropping 3%.
The bond market stabilizes as Jay Powell prepares to speak on the economy.
The Senate's final vote on stimulus gets pushed into the weekend.
Capitol Hill is locked down after warnings of a possible threat.
New York Governor Cuomo apologizes amid sexual harassment allegations, but says he will not resign. Plus, House Democrats have approved sweeping voting legislation. I'm Mike LaBar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. James Harden back in Houston led the Nets to another win, and Aaron Boone is taking a medical leave of absence.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower after a sell-off in Asia overnight. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 21 points, Dow futures down 118, NASDAQ futures down 100, the DAX in Germany down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.47%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 36 cents at $60.93 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.1% at $17.13.30 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street spread to Asia overnight with stocks in China leading declines. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell 1.7%. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks led the declines as investors sold out of consumer and tech stocks. The CSI 300 had its biggest one-day drop since July, down 3.2% to a two-month low. The Hang Seng Tech Index is close to bear market territory, down 20% from its peak. Losses among tech giants, the likes of Samsung and SoftBank, saw the Kospi and Seoul down 1.3%. The Nikkei 225 off over 2% in Tokyo. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Stocks are also falling outside of Asia, with U.S. futures heading lower over the past hour. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John, good morning.
And Karen, U.S. stock futures are falling, adding to yesterday's 2.7% decline for the NASDAQ and a 1.3% drop in the S&P 500. The culprit behind the sell-off appears to be rising Treasury yields and inflation expectations. Early inklings of inflation were evident in data from the Institute for Supply Management, where prices paid jumped to their highest levels since 2008, and that's stoking volatility and raising concerns that the prolonged equity rally may be in jeopardy. Well, this morning, yields are stabilizing. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The direction of U.S. markets today could be driven by Jay Powell. The Fed chairman weighs in on the economy during an event hosted by the Wall Street Journal. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed chairman and his colleagues have been at pains to insist they will not change policy this year. Investors don't believe them. Treasury yields are up across the board, except in money markets, with overnight rates occasionally trading negative intraday, which is why traders are suddenly talking up Fed action. They could sell shorter tenors like the 2-year and buy farther out on the curve a new Operation Twist. They could sell bills to push up overnight repo rates, or they could do nothing. If they're contemplating anything, Powell may want to hint at it in his appearance. It's the last before the next Fed meeting on March 17th. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Congressional action on stimulus is also in focus and likely will be for several days. The Senate is not likely to approve President Biden's relief package until the weekend. Lawmakers are waiting on an official cost estimate while Democrats continue revising the measure passed by the House.
Well, House members aren't going to be on Capitol Hill today. The chamber has canceled its session out of an abundance of caution after warnings of a possible threat to the U.S. Capitol building. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Capitol Police warn a militia group has launched a plot to breach the Capitol today. That alert followed another joint intelligence bulletin this week from Homeland Security and the FBI about right-wing extremists talking about attacking the Capitol starting today through March 6th. As they claim, March 4th is the true inauguration day when former President Trump will be sworn in for a second term. The House session is canceled. The Senate still plans to meet. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Politics is coming into play when it comes to the pandemic. President Joe Biden is criticizing Republican governors in Texas and Mississippi for lifting mask mandates.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
Biden calls lifting mask mandates a big mistake. Meantime, the vaccine campaign continues to push ahead. The U.S. is now administering more than 2 million shots per day. Get the latest on the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Politics is also in focus in Hong Kong. The city has now disappeared from the Heritage Foundation's list of the world's freest economies. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Hong Kong held the number one spot for 25 consecutive years. Then last year, it was passed by Singapore. This year, it was dropped altogether. Well, now it's counted as part of China, and that reflects Beijing's increasing sway over policy. China itself ranks 107th, nestled between Uganda and Uzbekistan. A study says Hong Kong policies are now controlled by Beijing. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Turning back to markets now, oil front and center this morning. Brent crude is trading at $63.74 a barrel as OPEC meets to decide policy on production. And Bloomberg's Renita Young has the story.
OPEC and its allies are keeping the oil market guessing about their next move. The group offered no clues Wednesday on whether we'll get the April supply increase markets are expecting. The trajectory of oil prices in the coming months now rests on an OPEC Plus meeting today. Crude could move higher if the group does not deliver the supply needed to fuel an economic recovery. Oil watchers still expect OPEC Plus to revive some of the 7 million barrels a day they've halted. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Back on Wall Street, Melvin Capital's making a comeback. The hedge fund took a pounding during the retail stock trading frenzy, but is now recouping some of its losses. Gabe Plotkin's fund lost 53% in January. Now, after adjusting strategy, Plotkin pulled off an almost 22% gain in February, about eight times the return of the S&P 500.
Meantime, one of the hottest investments on Wall Street has suffered another setback during this tech sell-off. The main fund from Cathie Wood's ARK Investment Management has dropped 20% from its highs. That's after surging more than tenfold over the past year. Your latest local headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A contrite New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is apologizing following sexual harassment allegations against him and calls to resign. Cuomo says he learned an important lesson about his own behavior around women.
I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say. But that's the truth.
Cuomo says, though, he intends to remain in office and will fully cooperate with the state attorney general's investigation into the allegations. Governor Cuomo also talked about his state legislature planning to repeal some of his COVID-19 emergency powers. This after the governor is under investigation for allegations of withholding COVID deaths at nursing homes.
Whatever order I put in place, the legislature can repeal it in 24 hours. Or whenever they choose.
Cuomo had avoided public appearances for days following the dual scandals. House Democrats have approved sweeping voting and ethics legislation. The bill was approved on a near party line vote. It would restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts, strike down hurdles to voting, and bring transparency to the campaign finance system. By a vote of 220-212, the House last night passed the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, holding police accountable. The same bill was passed last year but was stalled in the then Republican-led Senate. Representative Akeem Jeffries of New York spoke after the vote.
The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act is about making sure that every single American, regardless of race, can experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The measure bans chokeholds and no-knock warrants. It almost looked like a totally successful mission for SpaceX. Its Starship SN10 prototype lifted off from Boca Chica, Texas, flew up about 6 miles, turned about, and landed vertical on the pad with a slight lean. That might have been a tip-off because a few moments later it exploded and was consumed by flames. Despite the mishap, the test is likely to signal progress for the massive vehicle.
The board of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas fired its CEO in the wake of last month's deadly storms. It resulted in blackouts. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stanshaw is here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the small crowd allowed in last night in Houston gave James Harden some cheers and some boos. They loved what Harden did for 8 years with the Rockets, three scoring titles and an MVP. Not as thrilled with Harden forcing a trade out of town. And he continues to lead the Nets to victories. They won easily, 132-114. Harden scored 29, yet another triple-double. Brooklyn hits the All-Star break, having won 10 of the last 11, seven straight on the road. Knicks home tonight for Detroit. St. John's was home, trailed by 11 at halftime and then won by 14 over Providence. Seton Hall lost to UConn. Wagner won to win the Northeast Conference regular season title. The season's over for Fordham. The Rams went 2-12. They'll have a new coach next year. Aaron Boone's only 47, but he did have open heart surgery 9 years ago. He had been feeling sluggish. A shortness of breath got checked out, and Boone had surgery yesterday in Tampa to insert a pacemaker. He won't be managing the Yankees for at least a few days. While in the hospital, he recorded a message for his players, including Brett Gardner.
Time to hear about the heart. It's very, very concerning. So obviously he's had some issues there before. So, you know, our first thoughts obviously go to him and his well-being, but obviously his first thoughts go to his players and our well-being, and making sure we, feel at ease with what he has going on. And obviously it was good to see that he's at ease.
Boone had to like last night's 4-1 win over Toronto. Corey Kluber retired all six batters, three by strikeout. Gary Sanchez with already his second home run. Mets lost to St. Louis 14-9. Wall Street Journal reports new NFL TV deals, with Thursday night games being streamed on Amazon. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 20 points. Dow futures down 113. NASDAQ futures down 88 points. U.S. vaccinations up to 80.5 million doses, according to Bloomberg's vaccine tracker. We'll talk about the effort next with Amish Adalja of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. This is Bloomberg. Just before 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin. Accountants and advisors awarded the best accounting firm for startups and emerging funds by Hedgeweek. Find out why at Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's 6:17 on Wall Street. This update brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more. Stocks falling with U.S. stock index futures as traders await remarks from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell following a renewed bout of bond volatility. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 27 points. Dow futures down 151. NASDAQ futures down 121. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.46%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 28 cents at $61 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3 at $17.12.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2040 against the dollar. British pound 1.3932 and the yen at 107.36. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you, Karen. U.S. Capitol Police say they have uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the Capitol today. The threat appears to be connected to a far-right conspiracy theory that former President Donald Trump will rise again to power on March 4th, the original inauguration day under the Constitution. The Duke of Edinburgh underwent a successful procedure for a pre-existing heart condition. Buckingham Palace says Queen Elizabeth's husband, who is 99, will remain in the hospital for treatment, rest, and recuperation for a number of days. New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone has taken a leave of absence from the team to get a pacemaker and intends to return to work in a few days. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins in a shootout 2-1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now to the latest on the pandemic. With three vaccines now available, the U.S. is getting more than 2 million shots into people's arms per day for the first time, according to the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. And the push in a couple of states to reopen has the Biden administration pushing back. For more, we're joined by Dr. Amish Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Welcome back, Dr. Adalja. It's good to have you with us. Is the vaccine effort back on track now with the cold weather delays behind us and this Johnson & Johnson shot now in the pipeline?
It appears that vaccines have accelerated. Many of us thought we would get over this initial rollout problem and it would get better as we got further along. But you know, even 2 million doses a day is not enough. We need to go faster. The faster we go, the better it is for everybody. So I would continue to urge people to get vaccinated as quickly as they can and to really pull out all the stops for people running vaccine clinics, trying to have nighttime hours, just making it as easy as possible for people to get vaccinated. And I do think the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will make it easier because it doesn't require that cold storage issue. And it's a single dose, one and done. So I think everything is looking better, but I want there really to be no speed limit when it comes to the pace of getting vaccines into the arms of people.
When you say no speed limit, does that mean that many states should start thinking about expanding eligibility more quickly than they have?
If states are having difficulty finding people in whatever priority group they are, they should just start moving down the priority groups as quickly as possible. Some states are still holding back vaccines and keeping them on their shelves, some maybe 20% of doses, for example. I think we should really just concentrate on getting all doses into people as quickly as possible and not really having anything left on hand at the state level and just continue to use them basically in a just-in-time fashion. As soon as you get doses, put them into people's arms.
We did hear some pretty pointed comments from President Biden yesterday in reaction to Texas and Mississippi pulling out all the stops when it comes to COVID restrictions in their states, calling it Neanderthal thinking. What's the effect we could see as these states start to lift restrictions?
I think it's important to separate two aspects of the decisions that were made in Texas and Massachusetts. One is taking capacity in businesses up to 100%, and the other is the mask mandates. So I'm much more sympathetic to increasing capacity restrictions or decreasing the capacity restrictions at some of those venues. But the only way that you can do that safely is if you've got a lot of people wearing masks and continuing to wear masks, because you cannot keep a business safe if people are not wearing masks with this much community transmission going on and these few people vaccinated in a given state. So I think if you're going to go to 100% capacity, which I think can be done when you look at hospital capacity and you say, are hospitals okay? You have to continue at this point to encourage people to wear masks and to make it as easy as possible for people to wear masks. And hopefully those businesses will continue to be aggressive with their mask policy as private businesses. They can set the terms of their employment and terms of for their customers. That I think needs to continue until we get more people vaccinated. The worry is that you'll start to see transmission pick up. Some of that is going to become tempered by the fact that our vulnerable populations are getting vaccinated. So you will likely see this imbalance. You might see cases go up, but hospitalizations stay the same as we kind of tame the virus as more people get vaccinated. But in general, I think that masks for the public when you're in a situation where you can't social distance are going to make sense probably into at least the midsummer.
You've only got about 30 seconds left here. Are you concerned at all about people picking and choosing among the shots, either for efficacy or ethical reasons?
I am. I think people need to be taking the first vaccine that's available to them, and I am very disappointed in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops trying to urge their Catholics away from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I really think this is a misguided attempt, and it's also something that really harkens back to the voice of the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church would make these types of pronouncements against science, which they have no business even being involved in.
And we'll leave it there for now. But as always, thank you so much for your insights, Professor Amish Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. So far, about 80.5 million vaccine doses have been administered in this country. The level of vaccinations now up to about 2 million per day. You can follow the effort through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It is updated daily at Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Looking at futures ahead of the open this morning, they are moving lower. S&P futures down 25 points. Dow futures down 145. NASDAQ futures down 113 points. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield on the 10-year note 1.46%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global equities are falling, adding to yesterday's sell-off. Asia was hardest hit, with stocks in China dropping 3%. Japan and Hong Kong fell more than 2%. We are also seeing moves lower in U.S. futures. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, NASDAQ futures are leading U.S. declines, down 0.9% this morning. That's after falling 2.7% in yesterday's cash session. Rising inflation expectations and a jump in Treasury yields were behind Wednesday's sell-off after a proxy for the anticipated annual inflation rate for the next half decade hit the highest level since 2008. The yields do appear to be stabilizing this morning, but S&P futures, they're down 0.7%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. The direction of U.S. markets could also be driven today by Jay Powell. The Fed chairman weighs in on the economy during an event hosted by the Wall Street Journal. He is likely to push back on bond market doubts about policy. Skeptics wonder just how patient the Fed will be in pulling back its support for the economy once the pandemic has ended.
Oil prices are in focus as OPEC meets to decide its next move. The market's been expecting the group to increase production at today's meeting, but analysts say OPEC may deliver a smaller increase than expected. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 27 cents at $61.01 a barrel. Brent is down 0.4%. It's at $63.79.
Now on Capitol Hill today, the Senate is due to start debate on the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It looks as if this will go into the weekend as changes are being made to what passed the House. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says there will be a new cost estimate as the minimum wage issue has been removed. But Republicans still have issues with it. Senator Pat Toomey.
2020 was an all-time record high revenue year for states and local governments across the country.
And President Biden has also agreed to moderate Democratic demands for tightening eligibility for the $1,400 stimulus checks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And we do have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg Wipro to acquire consultancy firm Capco for $1.45 billion. Futures again moving lower. S&P futures down 24 points. Dow futures down 144. NASDAQ futures down 101. And the 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 1.46%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. The euro 1.2039 against the dollar. The yen at 107.36. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you, sir. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo offered an apology as calls continue for his resignation following sex harassment allegations. In his first public appearance since the accusations, Cuomo says, though, he is not going to resign.
We have COVID, we have recovery, we have rebuilding, we have a teetering New York City. We have a terrible financial picture. We have to do vaccines. I'm going to do the job the people of the state elected me to do.
Cuomo says he feels awful and embarrassed and never meant to offend anyone. Cuomo pledged to fully cooperate with the state attorney general's investigation and asked the public to withhold judgment. Governor Cuomo also talked about his state legislature having an agreement that would repeal some of his COVID-19 emergency powers. This after the governor is under investigation for allegedly withholding COVID deaths at nursing homes.
On the COVID emergency powers, we've worked with the legislature. We have an agreement on a bill where the legislature can repeal any executive order that I issue with over 50%.
It's some good news for the arts and entertainment industry in New York. Bloomberg's Renita Young has more.
Governor Andrew Cuomo said starting April 2nd, arts and entertainment venues will be allowed to welcome up to 100 people indoors and up to 200 people outdoors. Now, that increase won't be enough to open closed Broadway theaters, but it could allow some small plays and concerts to resume. Limits could be slightly higher, but that's only if venues can require attendees to show proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
House Democrats approved sweeping voting and ethics legislation. The bill, approved on a near party line vote, would, among other things, restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts and strike down hurdles to voting. SpaceX's biggest rocket pulled off its first successful landing and then exploded a brief time later. Despite the fiery mishap in Texas, the test is likely to signal progress for the massive vehicle. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshauer with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Houston's loss has been Brooklyn's gain. James Harden forced to trade and is flourishing with the Nets. He was back in Houston. They actually gave him a video tribute. Harden then scored 29 of a triple-double. The Nets won 132-114. It's Harden's eighth triple-double since the trade. It's the Nets' club record, seventh straight road win. It's Houston's 13th loss in a row. Nets hit the All-Star break half game behind Philadelphia, who beat Utah in overtime. Joel Embiid scored 40. St. John's will play Seton Hall Saturday. Then comes the Big East tournament. Both teams need work to get in the NCAAs. Red Storm did beat Providence 81-67, but the Pirates fell to UConn. Syracuse beat Clemson, keeping NCAA hopes alive for the Orange. The Yankees say Aaron Boone could be back managing in a few days. He had surgery yesterday in Tampa to put in a pacemaker. The 47-year-old Boone had open heart surgery 9 years ago, had been experiencing low energy and a shortness of breath. Yanks beat Toronto 4-1. Corey Kluber looked good. Two big offseason questions for the Jets. What will they do with the second pick of the draft? And will Sam Darnold remain the quarterback? The Jets GM, Joe Douglas.
Sam's a dynamic player in this league. With unbelievable talent, and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
Meanwhile, the NFL expected to soon announce new TV deals. Wall Street Journal reports big spikes in rights fees. Disney's ESPN, ABC would get into the Super Bowl rotation, and Amazon expected to land Thursday night game. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. As we watch broad declines in equities this morning, Dave, what's got your eye?
Well, I'm actually taking a look at Moderna. The shares are down more than 4% in early trading. Report in the New England Journal of Medicine said some people who got the company's COVID-19 vaccine experience delayed rashes that can take roughly 6 days to resolve. So, that side effect, getting people's attention in early trading. A couple of companies moving after earnings. Marvell Technology down 5%. The chip maker's fourth quarter profit only matched analyst average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. Those sales beat projections. And Snowflake has slipped 0.5%. The supplier of data warehousing software predicted revenue growth would slow this quarter by about 20 percentage points. Of course, we're still talking a 96% increase. Then again, in the most recent quarter, we're talking 116% there.
Wow. Now, you mentioned Moderna this morning. There's some movement involving another big drug maker as well.
There is. Teva Pharmaceuticals down 3%. The European Union has begun an antitrust probe. The EU is investigating whether Teva illegally blocked drugs that would compete with its biggest seller, the multiple sclerosis medicine Copaxone. You have Okta down 10.5%. The maker of identity verification software agreed to buy rival Auth0 for about $6.5 billion in stock. Okta also forecast a wider first quarter loss than analysts expected. Splunk, though, up 3%. The maker of data analysis software posted fourth quarter profit and revenue that far exceeded estimates. Splunk is higher, even though its first quarter sales forecast came up short of projections. We're getting some more results before the open. Supermarket chain Kroger is due, along with the lawn and garden equipment maker Toro. Off-price apparel retailer Burlington Stores, and the arts and crafts retailer Michaels. Now, the results from Michaels will be anticlimactic because that company agreed yesterday to a $3.3 billion buyout by Apollo Group. Michaels shares rose 22% in response to the deal. You've got Cummins up 1.5%. The engine maker was raised to buy from Holden Jeffries. The firm increased its 12-month share price estimate by 30% to $325. The new target is the highest among 19 analysts in a Bloomberg survey. And one more for you, Nathan.
Okay.
Vroom.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not racing today. It's racing down. Laura, by 14%, the online auto dealer forecasts a wider first quarter loss than analysts expected, even though its revenue forecast was higher than projections.
Now, going with the overall trend for markets as a whole this morning. Okay, Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. As I mentioned, futures are moving lower ahead of Chairman Powell's commentary later today. S&P futures down 19 points, Dow futures down 97, NASDAQ futures lower by 71 points, and the 10-year Treasury yield 1.46%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny, breezy today, low 40s for afternoon highs. Mostly sunny, still breezy tomorrow, cooler, upper 30s. We'll be in the upper 30s on Saturday as well under sunshine. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 108 points. S&P's dropped 20. NASDAQ futures are lower by 73. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.47%. Gold is up 3, and Shanghai fell 2% overnight. While European markets are also trading in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims. At 10 o'clock, durable goods orders. And at 12 o'clock, Fed's Powell discusses the U.S. economy. After the bell last night, Snowflake reported is little changed in the pre-market. And in deal news, people familiar said that Walmart's Flipkart is mulling a U.S. listing through a SPAC. In other news, Bitcoin is back below 50,000. And wrapping things up, Cummins raised to buy over at Jefferies, while Qualcomm raised to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you, Karen. U.S. Capitol Police say they have uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the Capitol. The threat appears to be connected to a far-right conspiracy theory that former President Trump will return to power today, March 4th, the original inauguration date under the Constitution. Regulators in the UK and four other countries plan to fast-track the development of modified COVID-19 vaccines so drug makers are able to move swiftly in targeting emerging variants. It means previously authorized vaccines will not need a brand new approval or lengthy clinical studies. Yankees manager Aaron Boone has taken a leave of absence from the team to get a pacemaker and intends to return to work in a few days. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins in a shootout 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Relief. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion.
It appears Senate Democrats have the votes for the $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill. Many have emphasized the decision to pass the bill with only Democratic votes. But there's no mystery here. Parties that have the votes rarely make concessions to get additional, unnecessary support. Bipartisan compromise usually happens when it's needed, not for its own sake. And Republicans never sketched out a realistic path to passage of a compromise bill anyway. The real headline here, assuming that the bill passes, is a major win on substance for the Democrats. Even without an increase in the minimum wage, there are still significant liberal gains on Obamacare and other health care policy items, on direct support to fight poverty, and in other areas. Indeed, there's probably a good case to be made that this bill alone will be a more significant policy shift towards liberal preferences than the shift in the other direction accomplished by the Republican majority Congress in the first 2 years of the Donald Trump presidency. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include new warnings of an attack on Capitol Hill, the House passing a broad elections overhaul that's likely to stall in the Senate, and President Biden trying to head off a crisis at the border. Also making news, the final Senate vote on stimulus is probably going to have to wait until the weekend. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins me now. So where do we stand now on the push towards stimulus? We've been talking about this March 14th deadline when current benefits run out. Are senators going to make it?
So at this point, Nathan, Congress is on track to make that deadline. They're going to have to work into the weekend here, but they are on track to have the votes to pass the bill to get back to the House next week so the House can pass it, the Senate version, before this deadline. We are going to see a little bit of holdups here. Part of the reason debate on this was supposed to begin last night, but an official cost estimate wasn't ready yet, and so senators had to delay. We're also going to be seeing a lot of delay tactics employed by Senate Republicans here. They're going to have the chance to offer a ton of amendments to this bill. We're expecting at least 20 hours of that. And then Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a Republican senator, has said that he is going to ask for the entire 600 to 700 page bill to be read on the Senate floor. That's probably going to take another 10 hours.
Oh, is that all? Well, in the meantime, this debate, Emily, is going to be happening under even tighter security than the Capitol has already been under since the January 6th attack. What's going on with this new threat to the Capitol?
So we've been privy to the fact that March 4th might come with heightened security for a while now. So what we've been hearing from law enforcement agents sort of around dealing with the Capitol is that they have heard that there is a potential threat of violence tomorrow from a militia group. We're not seeing a lot of details released at this point. That's a part of the security aspect of it. But last night, House Democrats did decide to move up a single vote that was going to be taking place today, moved it to Wednesday, and then sent everyone home for the weekend. They said that that was at least partially due to threats of concern, and also because it was just one vote. They weren't going to be here on Friday anyway, and it was fairly easy to do.
So I guess in the meantime, the House was able to push through some pretty major legislation, even despite this threat to the Capitol today, including a pretty sweeping election reform bill.
Yes, this is something that we saw House Democrats go ahead and pass last year. It contains numerous provisions with the goal of making it easier to vote. It limits gerrymandering for congressional districts. It requires third-party groups to reveal their donors. But as Democrats have pushed through this bill, it's coming as Republicans in state legislatures are passing their own laws that would actually make it harder to vote by putting certain limits around the process of voting, when people can vote, what ballots can be. And Democrats are saying that this bill, H.R. 1, that it's really, really critical to making sure that there can be free and fair elections in 2022. At the same point, you've got Republicans pushing back, saying that this is a bill that Democrats have come up with the goal of getting Democrats reelected.
Finally, only about 30 seconds left here, but we're hearing more warnings in Washington about a growing migrant crisis at the southern border. How's the Biden administration reacting to that?
the Biden administration is really trying to head off this humanitarian and political crisis. President Biden was briefed earlier this week on this. The administration has held multiple briefings with House and Senate leaders. And I think this is something that we're going to be seeing the administration continue to focus on. Remember, the Biden administration did roll back some of Trump's regulations. I think they're trying to sort of find a way to prevent the crisis, but also perhaps remove some of the heavy restrictions we saw during the Trump administration.
All right. Thank you for all this. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. SpaceX's newest and biggest rocket pulled off its first successful landing, but then it exploded moments afterward. The Starship SN10 prototype lifted off from a launch pad in Texas, flew to an altitude of about 6 miles, then it appeared to achieve a milestone with its first stable landing in 3 attempts just before the explosion. The UK government will funnel millions into the development of a new hydrogen hub and floating offshore wind technology as part of several small-scale green measures aimed at boosting clean technology. Chancellor Rishi Sunak says the measures will be crucial in creating a net-zero society. The UK is committed to effectively eliminating all emissions by 2050. And UK antitrust authorities say they plan to investigate Apple's App Store to probe whether it's abusing its market power to restrict competition. The Competition and Markets Authority said it plans to investigate Apple's potentially dominant position in the supply of apps on iPhones and iPads. The Apple probe comes as the UK watchdog seeks to move to the forefront of tech regulation following Brexit. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. March is Women's History Month, and every day we're looking back at some of those who've played a vital role in American history. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history in 1933, Frances Perkins is sworn in as U.S. Secretary of Labor, making her the first female member of a U.S. presidential cabinet. She served under President Franklin Roosevelt. Prior to the White House, Perkins tirelessly fought for workers' rights and safety in various New York City and state agencies. She was one of two cabinet members who served for the entirety of the Roosevelt administration. Perkins played an active role in developing and enacting a wide range of New Deal programs, including the Social Security Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act. She also pushed for a minimum wage, a maximum work week, and a limit on employment of children under 16. That's today in women's history. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures down about 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures down 43. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.46%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 5 cents at $61.33 a barrel. And COMEX gold also little changed, down about a dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.